On behalf of Bishop Conlon and Father Bill, I want to welcome all of you to this house of God, to this gate of heaven. In a special way, I would like to welcome those whose loved ones are listed here on this scroll. There are some among us tonight, no doubt, who have not been back to Joliet or to this church since the day that we bade farewell to those listed there. So whether you are a guest who has come back or a member of this parish, whether tonight you are still lost in grief or have come tonight simply to remember and pray, you are welcome here. And I have to admit that I'm having kind of a Pope Francis moment right now where I had this beautiful reflection prepared for you that I think I'm just going to ditch and talk about something else. You see there on the altar, I've placed an altar cross. It's not usually there. The Carthusian monks have a phrase. They say, stat crux dum volvitur orbis, which means the cross stands still while the world turns around it. The cross and that one perfect sacrifice of Christ, the Mass, which takes place before it, they remain there, even though the whole world is moving around it. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Trial or distress or nakedness or danger or persecution or hunger or the sword? Paul says so beautifully, no. None of these things. Because in all of these things, we are conquerors because of Him who has loved us. So consider the frenzy that you brought in here tonight with you. Consider the memories that you've brought in here tonight with you. Fresh ones, old ones, new ones. Not just your immediate daily experience today on a Tuesday night of getting out here, but think of what brought you here, perhaps for the day of the funeral of the one you loved. Think of that journey, the chaos, the uncertainty, the fear, the joy, too, that brought you here. All the while the cross stood still. Not as a sign, sometimes we think that the cross and the silence of it, and the starkness of it, we can think that it's a sign of God's silence or His ignorance, perhaps, or that He isn't there. Or we can look at the cross and we can see it merely as the way the Romans saw it, an instrument of torture and of death. But I love the way that the second reading was proclaimed because I think it's the way that Paul wrote it. We consider Christ who died, or rather, who was raised. We catch ourselves. We consider Christ who died for us, who because of that death on the cross which stands still while the world in its frenzy turns around it, we know that it's because of that death, that the death that we mark in this church, that the passing away that we celebrate and remember tonight is not without meaning. It's not without meaning. Sometimes we think that the death of our loved ones is the end of their existence. But for those of you who were here for a funeral that I presided at, you remember what I say. The death of the Christian is simply a major change of address, right? It's not the end, but it's a beginning. C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite authors, says that life in heaven, life after life, he says that the heavenly experience doesn't even begin to be comprehended here. He says that our life on earth is just the preface to the book of our life. That the best and the most beautiful things are still to come. But we only believe that We only know of the resurrection. We only know of the power of Jesus because he went through that crucible, because he went through that challenge, he went through that journey. He journeyed through death and into life. That the one thing that the world believed was the final victor, the great equalizer, we say that through death, deathlessness itself has come among us. That in the person of Jesus, who was dead, or rather was raised, that because of that life, we believe in the resurrection of the body. That the church has taught this from the beginning. That the afterlife is not some void of floating souls, but that it is the fulfillment of every desire, of every authentic yearning for joy is fulfilled in the sight of God. We believe in the resurrection of the body because we've seen it. We've seen it. We've received, we've tasted in our mouths the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus. And we can say with confidence because of that, that in Jesus, death is conquered and sin is forgiven. And so there's no need to fear. There is no need to fear. Remember that at Jesus' time, there was a lot of people preaching that they were the Messiah. What were their names? What did they preach? We don't know, and we don't really care. Why? Because this thing would not have survived for 2,000 years. 12 apostles would not have been able to overturn the world in 2,000 years later, have it still exist, if it was fake, if it was false. If everybody went away from him back then, do you think people would want to spend money and build this behemoth now? A temple to a dead god? What's the point? So just the fact that we are here offers us some proof that what we're doing is true, that what we're saying is right. I want to encourage us tonight to pray for the grace to view death not as an enemy, but as a friend. Because death for the Christian is simply the doorway into life. Death is the door that will allow us to finally see the Father. So why do we fear it? Why do we fear the junction that will take us from this valley of tears and bring us further up and further in to a life of inexplicable light and warmth and joy? Stat crux dum volvitur orbis. The cross stands still as a sign for us, not of God's coldness or silence, but of his presence, a reminder of who he is, a suffering God who is dead, or rather was raised, who lives, who is among us, who's there to comfort us when we lose our loved ones and is there to welcome those same loved ones, saying, come to me, blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Friends, as we wait for death, which comes, whether we want it to or not, it comes like a bus in the night. Let us remember that the most beautiful things by far are yet to come. Are we willing to surrender to Jesus in every moment of this life, to endure a crucible similar to his? Are we willing to climb that cross which stands still? Are we willing to place ourselves, our past, our present, and our future, our very lives upon this altar tonight? Are we willing to die with him in order that his promise of life forever might be fulfilled? While the world turns, the cross of Christ stands forever as a beacon of life, a beacon of joy, and a beacon of hope, a symbol of Christ who is dead, or rather, was raised.